All right, so today we're going deep diving into something that on the surface might not sound all that exciting.
Definitely not our usual flashy tech topic, that's for sure.
But trust me, once we start peeling back the layers, it gets surprisingly interesting. We're talking about broken links.
Yeah, those little 404 errors, page not found. We've all been there.
Exactly. It seems like such a, I don't know, minor annoyance,
I said for
right? But it actually speaks to some much larger issues about the internet, like how we access information, how we preserve it, even what happens to our digital legacy. We're calling this deep dive link rot, a solved problem. But does anyone care? And we're going to be digging into three blog posts from Vertical.dk, a Danish digital consultancy.
a consultancy that I have to say has been on a bit of a crusade against broken links for over a decade now.
Yeah, and leading the charge is one of their founders, Steven Snedker. He is a developer, clearly passionate about this stuff, and he's been building solutions and raising awareness for years.
It's a pretty fascinating story, actually. Back in 2014, he created this tool called the Wayback Filter.
Wayback filter. Okay, so for those of us who don't speak fluent code, what does that even mean?
So basically, it was a module, a plugin for certain types of websites, and it would automatically detect when a link on the site was broken.
Okay, so it spots the problem. What does it do about it?
Well, that's where the Wayback Machine comes in. You know, that digital archive that's been taking snapshots of websites for years.
Yeah, it's like a time machine for the internet.
Right, so Snedker's Wayback Filter, it would recognize a broken link and then automatically add a new working link right next to it, pointing to an archived version of that page on the Wayback Machine.
Oh, that's clever. So instead of hitting a dead end, you get a detour.
Exactly. You're still able to access that information even if the original page is long gone. You'd think people would be all over this, right? A simple solution to a very common problem.
Yeah, problem solved, right?
Not exactly. And this is where it gets kind of interesting, even a little sad. Despite Snedker's efforts, the Wayback Filter didn't exactly take off.
Really? Why not? Was it too complicated, too buggy?
No, it seems like the bigger issue was just a lack of awareness. People just weren't that bothered by broken links. Snedker actually wrote in a 2016 article that he thinks only two websites in the entire world were using his Wayback Filter module.
Two websites. Out of what, the entire internet?
Yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling, right? You've got this guy, he's created this elegant solution to a real problem, but nobody's biting.
So what happened next? Did Snedker just give up and say, okay, I guess the internet's okay with broken links?
Thankfully, no. He's much too stubborn for that. And as we'll see, his persistence would end up having a much bigger impact than he probably ever imagined.
Two websites. Wow. Talk about an uphill battle. So what happened next in the saga of Steven Snedker and the fight against link rot?
Well, this is where things take a kind of surprising turn. While Snedker was plugging away, largely unnoticed, a little website you might have heard of decided to tackle the link rot problem.
Let me guess. Google, Facebook.
Even bigger in the information world, Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. Okay, that makes sense, I guess. They've got articles on, well, pretty much everything. So they must run into this broken link problem all the time.
Exactly. And they decided to do something about it. And get this, the solution they came up with was essentially the same thing as Snedker's Wayback Filter.
No way. So they were basically, what, reinventing the wheel?
It seems like they independently came up with the idea, but yeah, the concept was very similar. They started automatically redirecting broken links to archived versions of those pages on the Wayback Machine.
So did Wikipedia reach out to Snedker, maybe offer to collaborate?
It's not clear from his articles whether they were in direct contact or not, but Snedker definitely saw Wikipedia's move as a huge validation of his work, and for good reason. The impact was massive.
How many broken links are we talking about here?
Just on the English version of Wikipedia, they were able to fix over 1 million broken links using this method.
A million. That's like an entire digital library being saved from oblivion.
And it's not just about the sheer numbers, it's also about the principle of it. One of the quotes Snedker includes in his 2016 article is from Brewster Cawley, the founder of the Internet Archive. He said this work was so important because it ensures stable access to useful information and prevents all those frustrating blind alleys that dead links create.
I bet Snedker was doing a little victory dance when he saw that.
I'm sure he allowed himself a small fist pump, at least, but he also recognized that the problem was much bigger than Wikipedia.
Right, because Wikipedia is just one website, even if it is a massive one.
In his 2016 article, he sort of celebrates the win, but also points out that this is a systemic issue that's not going away anytime soon. He basically says, "We've shown it can be done. Now let's get everyone else on board."
So the crusade continues. Fast forward to 2024. What's Snaker up to now?
Well, remember how we talked about automation being key to tackling a problem of this scale? Snedker and his allies at the Internet Archive have really taken that to heart.
Oh, yeah. What have they cooked up?
Enter the Internet Archive bot.
Okay, a bot on a mission to fix broken links. That sounds like it has the potential to be either incredibly helpful or incredibly terrifying. Hopefully it's the helpful kind.
Oh, it's definitely the helpful kind. This bot basically does what Snedker's original Wayback Filter did, but on a much grander scale. It crawls all across Wikipedia 24/7, hunting down those broken links and automatically redirecting them to the Wayback Machine. And get this, in a single week, this bot repaired over 49,000 links.
49,000. This bot is putting us all to shame with its productivity. So it sounds like everything's coming up roses, right? Problem solved. High fives all around.
Well, not quite. Even though amazing progress has been made, it seems like many people still haven't quite grasped the importance of all this.
Really? After all this work, all these millions of links being rescued from the digital abyss, what's the deal?
Yeah, it's kind of baffling. You'd think this would be a no-brainer for people, right?
Yeah.
Keep your links working.
Right. It's like if your phone number stopped working, you'd probably, I don't know, fix it.
Exactly. But for some reason, with websites, people just shrug it off. Snedker actually uses a rather colorful phrase in his 2024 article. I apologize in advance for my pronunciation, but in Danish, it's NJ senile F-julser.
Which, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that's not exactly a term of endearment.
Not even close. It's more like, come on, you old fools, get with the program. He's clearly frustrated that after all this time, people are still burning bridges, so to speak, by not taking this serious.
Yeah, so he's fired up. But honestly, I think some of our listeners might be in the same boat as those senile Julser and just not quite get why this is such a big deal. So let's break it down. Why should we care about link rot? It's not like, I don't know, the world is ending because a few links are broken. Right?
Well, maybe the world isn't ending, but it does point to a much bigger issue, which is the fragility of information online. Think about it. Every broken link is a tiny piece of knowledge that's become just a little bit harder to access.
Okay, I get that. But isn't that what the Wayback Machine is for? Like, if something disappears from the live web, we can always find it in the archive, right?
Ideally, yes. But the Wayback Machine isn't perfect. It doesn't capture everything. And even when it does, the archive versions might not always be complete or fully functional. And, more importantly, relying solely on the Wayback Machine puts us in a very passive position.
Passive how?
We're basically saying, okay, it's fine if stuff disappears from the live web because someone else will take care of preserving it. But that puts a lot of responsibility and cost on organizations like the Internet Archive, which, by the way, is a nonprofit.
That's a good point. They're doing amazing work, but they can't be expected to single-handedly archive the entire internet.
Exactly. It's like expecting libraries to collect every book ever printed, but then also saying, but don't worry about actually keeping the books in the library itself. Just, you know, keep a record of it somewhere.
Right. That wouldn't work out too well for anyone who actually wants to, you know, read those books.
Exactly. So while tools like the Wayback Machine and amazing bots like the Internet Archive bot are crucial, it's also about changing our mindset. We need to see broken links not just as a technical glitch, but as a symptom of a larger problem, which is that we haven't really figured out how to build an internet that's truly sustainable, where information can endure over the long term.
So where do we go from here? What's the solution?
That's the million-dollar question. I mean, there are technical things we can do, better archiving practices, more robust web design, maybe even building entirely new platforms that are designed with longevity in mind. But ultimately, I think it comes down to awareness and a sense of shared responsibility. We can't just rely on a few dedicated developers and bots to save the day. We all have a part to play in creating a web that's more resilient, more reliable, and less prone to digital decay.
A web that doesn't just connect us in the moment, but also connects us to the past and to the future. On that note, I want to thank Expert Speaker for taking us on this deep dive into the surprisingly complex world of link rot. And to our listeners, I hope you learned something new today, and I hope you'll join us next time for another deep dive into the often overlooked corners of the internet.